Vayikach Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kahas, Ben Levi, V'dasan Vaviram, B'nei Eliyav, V'on Ben Pelet, B'nei Reuven. And Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the grandson of Kahat, the great-grandson of Levi, and Datan and Aviram, the sons of Eliyav, On Ben Pelet, On the son of Pelet, Datan, Aviram, and On being from the tribe of Reuven, Korach took them. What does that mean? Separated them for their rebellion, revolt against Moshe and Aaron, convinced them with words, has a whole bunch of different possible connotations. But the bottom line is Parashat Korach. Well, I'll tell you that in a little while, even though the show is not going to focus on Korach. It will touch Korach and Pirkei Avot for this week and the date of this Shabbat, the 3rd of Tammuz. And I'm hoping to put it all together. But we're not there yet. OU Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Korach. And as I've already said, it's not going to be too much about Korach, but it's still for Shabbat Parshat Korach. In any event, recording and first availability, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, Rosh Chodesh, Tammuz, the first day of the month of Tammuz, the second day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, 5778, corresponding this year to June 14th, which, as I remember, is, or at least used to be, Flag Day in the United States. And it was one of the few days that I wore my red, white, and blue stars and stripes kippah, which my mother, Allah Shalom, made for me for those occasions. I would wear it on July 4th and maybe on Memorial Day, which has changed, and on Flag Day. And I usually had to wear it on top of another kippah because it was on the small side. In any event, those are my memories. Let us say Tehillim Kuf Kuf Aleph Psalm 121, because we do not say Tachanun on Rosh Chodesh. And I might as well make it clear again, this business of Psalm 130 on days that we do say Tachanun and Psalm 121 on days that we don't is totally my choice. It is not a tradition. It is not a minhag. It is not a time-honored custom. It's just that 130 and 121, I find well-known, both generic as far as calling out to God for help, and it's something that we need to do continuously. So here is Kuf Kuf Aleph. Shir lama'alot, esa inai el haharim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, vioreach balayla. Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra Yishmoret Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmoret Seitecha Uvoecha Me'ata V'yad Olam. Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Hanatunim Batzara Uvashivya Ha'omidim Mibain Bayam Uvain Bayabasha Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem V'yotziyem Mitzara Lirvacha U'me'afela La'ora U'mishibud L'geula Hashta Ba'agala U'vizman Kariv V'nomar Amen. Okay, it's still going to take me a couple of minutes to get to where I want to be for this show, but let's start with a certain kind of overview. I think I mentioned last week, and Korach is the other example, the other really bolate, obvious examples. Bolate. Interesting that I went for that Hebrew. Sticking out. Obvious? I don't know. That's not the best word. Will have to be. I described that there are some mitzvot in the Torah, out of the 613, that are not contextual. They don't have any context. They don't have any story from which they come. An example, Lo Tilbash Sha'atnez, Tzemer Ufishtim Yachtav. You shall not wear garments of Sha'atnez, which is wool and linen together. You can take a look at the pasuk before and the verse after, and maybe get a lesson out of that, but there is no story that presents us with the mitzvah of Sha'atnez. Then you have contextual mitzvot. My first example is back in Parshat Lech Lecha, where God speaks to the aging, aged Avraham. He's now 99 years old, and he asks him to walk before him in completeness, and he gives him a name change from Avram to Avraham, and commands him to circumcise himself, his son, who at the time was Yishmael, and the male servants of his household. The mitzvah of Brit Milah for all time is contained within the story of Avraham, even though it was not exactly the eighth day for him. Later, when Yitzchak was born, the Torah makes a point of saying that Avraham circumcised him in fulfillment of the mitzvah. And in Parsha Tazria, we have the more clinical presentation of the mitzvah. A woman gets pregnant and she has a baby. If it's a boy, she's Temeah for 7 days, and on the eighth day, he is circumcised. Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Orlato. But Chazal, our sages, went in the direction of taking or showing us the mitzvah of Mila from the context of the covenant that Avraham made with God for all generations, and that was a commitment which we continue to make with him, symbolized by the mitzvah of Mila, but much broader in scope. Parshat Bo, the story of the Exodus, the culmination of the 10 plagues with the plague of the killing of the firstborns, and within the story of the night of the Exodus, we have the mitzvot related to Korban Pesach, related to Matzah and Chametz, Haggadah, and those are the mitzvot that I call contextual. The Torah presenting them within a context so that we can learn concepts of the mitzvah, elements of the mitzvah, from the story. There's a third type of mitzvah, which I call juxtapositional mitzvot. I call it that because when I learned juxtapositional or position or juxtaposed, I was surprised with the J-U-X beginning of the word, immediately triggered the Scrabble. 8 points for the J and 8 points for the X, although juxtapose is a big word. In any event, juxtapositional mitzvot, I find the two most obvious examples, Parshat Shlach and Parshat Korach. I discussed Shlach last week, where you have two-thirds of the Sedra that tell the story of the sin of the spies. No mitzvot there. Then the Torah finishes the story and proceeds to present different mitzvah topics, some of which are counted in Shlach, not many, and others have been counted and will be counted elsewhere, but I believe that they are presented juxtaposed to the story of Chet HaMeraglim to teach us various lessons, which I spent time on last week. Parshat Korach is even more obvious. The story of the rebellion of Korach was the story of a Levi who was disgruntled with the fact that he was not given any power or authority. He perceived that Moshe, as the leader of the people, gave the position of Kohen Gadol, what is called, and I don't like the term high priest, to his brother Aaron, and Korach felt entitled to it as the eldest son of Amram's next brother. Amram was Moshe's father. The next brother was Yitzhar. Moshe was not the oldest, but he got something by virtue of his father being the firstborn of Kehat. And Korach felt entitled to it also. To add more to his complaint, when it came time to selecting the leader of family Kahat among the Levim, Korach said, at least me for that, and the honor went to Elzaphan, who was a younger cousin, the son of a younger brother of his father, Korach's father's Yitzhar. Add to that the alliance that Korach and his gang made with Datan and Aviram from the tribe of Reuven, who already had a reputation of having it in for Moshe. And Reuven is the sympathetic ear for rebellion, because Reuven was the Bechor, the firstborn son of Yaakov, and three different very significant elements that might have gone to the firstborn, did not go to him. The kingship went to Shevet Yehuda. The Kahuna and Levia went to Levi. And the double portion of a firstborn went to Yosef, who was the firstborn of Yaakov's other wife, even though she was the wife he always intended to marry. But he marries Leah first, Reuven is born first, Reuven is the firstborn heir of his father, and should have received the double portion of inheritance. And Yosef got the two tribes of Ephraim and Menashe, sort of like the double portion. Can't say exactly, but sort of. Anyway, after the whole Korach issue and the complaints of the people that Moshe was killing off the people, and the miracle in the Ohel Moed of the sticks, which were taken from each tribe, and the stick or staff of Aharon on behalf of the tribe of Levi flowered, blossomed, fruited with almond, and that was a message from God to the people that that Aharon was the true Kohen Gadol, and Korach's rebellion failed. It failed with the deaths of the 250 bringers of incense, and it failed with the swallowing up by the earth of Datan and Aviram and many others in this rebellion. And then the people were very despondent. It did not really come out good. I mean, it would never come out good anyway, but it still wasn't okay that the bad guys were taken off the scene. Another 14,700 people lost their lives as a result of the complaining to God. And we then find mitzvot in the rest of the Sedra that deal with the Kohen, the Levi, the non-Kohen, non-Levi, the Levi's obligation to the Kohen, the Yisrael's obligation to the Kohen and to the Levi. And it sort of sets down with mitzvot that which was part of the story, but the mitzvot are presented by themselves afterwards. I could talk more about that, but I don't want to. Let me put on a piece of music, and then we will get down to the topic that I am itching to share.
San menucho lena shena pidyoy mishes vanocho veho yidroish vitziyoy ir hanidocho ad anatuk yoy nefesh nenocho hashaymer 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 shabbos hashaymer shabbos abein im habas lokel 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 yeratzu lokel yeratzu ki mincho amachvat roiche barovois melech oilam My leash voice is in bunny me. The Mahalois are a voice, be me name at a mibe Malbusheha voice, ever Nipoha. Hashimer, Hashimer, Hashimer Shabbos, Hashimer Shabbos, Habenim Abbas. Lokel, Lokel, Lokel Yeratsu, Lokel Yeratsu, Kimitha Amavas. Be Ashre, Kohoi Hell, Sashlum Mehe Fell, May Yes Kosai Hell. Shaykhim Barovel Nachlo Lois Kebo Horu Vashovel Nachlo Umnucho Kashemers Lois Orcho Hashaymer 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 Shabbos Hashaymer Shabbos Habein Im Habas Lokel 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 Ye Ratsu Lokel Ye Ratsu Kimincho Amachvas Hol Shaymer Shabbos Kados Mechalim Loi Hein Hashachi Hibas Koinesh Gara Loi Kesser hilumim al rosham yawat sur sur hoy lawamim ruchay bamnacha hashaymer 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 shabbos habein im habas lokel 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 yeratzu kimincha amachvas
Moshcha, Hashaymer Shabbos, Hashaymer Shabbos, Habeinim Habas, Lokel, Lokel, Lokel Yerotsu, Lokel Yerotsu, Kimincha Amachbas, Koidesh Hilochem Shabbos Hamalko, El Tobotechem Laniach Berocha, Bechol Moish Vaisechem, Lois Asu Melocha, Bneichem Uvnaisechem, Ebel Gam Shivcha, Hashaymer, Hashaymer, Hashaymer Shabbos, Hashaymer Shabbos, Habeinim Habas. Lokel, 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 Lokel Yerotsu, Lokel Yerotsu, Kimilcho Amachbas. Hashaymer, Hashaymer, Hashaymer Shabbos, Hashaymer Shabbos, Habeinim Habas. Lokel, Lokel, Lokel Yerotsu, Lokel Yerotsu, Kimilcho Amachbas. Hashaymer, Hashaymer. Hashaymer Shabbos, Hashaymer Shabbos, Habeinim Habas, Lokel, Lokel, Lokel Yerotsu, Lokel Yerotsu, Kimimcha Amachbas.
That was another track from Shabbat Zmirot. As soon as I find the cover of the CD, I will tell you who it is. But I couldn't really find anything specific to Parshat Korach. So my fallback is the fact that the show is a Thursday-Friday pre-Shabbos kind of show to put us into the mood. And by the way, all of the feedback I got these last 2 weeks, which I still hope to acknowledge personally, have been from people who say I regularly listen on Thursday night, or Friday morning, or Friday afternoon. I think one person said, I try to do it before Shabbos, but if not, then I listen on Sunday. But most of the responses that I got, almost all of them, spoke of this as the Shabbat program, hence the Zmirot to put us into the mood. Now let me see if I can put together for you what's in my mind already. Let's start. Korach. I want to try to tie in a few things here. Korach challenges Moshe, challenges God's authority, and at one point, after trying to calm him down and talk him out of it, it doesn't work. Moshe gets angry and says to God, first listen to the language, Vayichar l'Moshe ma'od. Moshe got very, very angry. And he said to God, don't accept their incense offering. I never took anything from them, and they are attacking. Moshe says to Korach, you and your group will stand before God tomorrow, you, they, and Aharon, and you will each take an incense pan and offer ketoret, incense, to God. Aharon and the 250 people that Korach took for his rebellion, and we'll see what happens. Okay. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon l'imor. God says, just get away from the rest of them and I'll wipe them all out. Moshe says to God, Ha'ish echad yecheta v'al kol ha'edah tiktzof. One person, Korach, started all of this. You're going to take out your anger on everybody? Don't do that. Then Vaidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Daber el Ha'eda, tell the rest of the people to stay away from Korach and his gang. And Moshe makes the following plea to God. If these people who are rebelling will die like people die, normal death, that is a sign that God did not send me. But if a new creation that God will bring about, and the earth shall open its mouth and swallow all of these people alive to the depths, then vidatem ki niatsu ha-nashim ha-elet Hashem, that these people challenge God's authority. And the Torah tells us, as Moshe finished saying this to God, the earth opened and swallowed the entire entourage of the rebellion, not counting the 250 people who offered Ketoret. They were struck dead by divine fire. Don't want to get into that now. I do want to take that, what I just read, and read something in Pirkei Avot. In Pirkei Avot, this week in Eretz Yisrael, we read the fifth chapter, chapter 5. And doesn't matter that in Chutz Laaretz it's chapter 4, because it's contained in chapter 5. And the Mishnah tells us, Asara devarim nivru be'erev Shabbat bein hashmashot. There were 10 specific items that were created, not on the spot of Moshe's request now, but in the instant before the first Shabbat, when the 6 days of creation were coming to their end, and God would be resting on Shabbat to teach us the sanctity of Shabbat and the concept of Shabbat. In the instant, Bein Hashmashot means in twilight of that very first Shabbos, there were 10 items that were created. Ve'elu hein, and these are them. Item number 1, Pi Ha'aretz. Pi Ha'aretz is the mouth of the earth that opened and swallowed Korach and his gang. I'm not going to go through the other 9 items and the few additions by other opinions in the Mishnah. They're all important, and they all deserve a focus. But I want to throw in one more thing to this mixture, and then see what I get out of it. According to Sefer HaTodah, Book of Our Heritage, the third of Tammuz, which is this Shabbat, today is 1, Friday is 2, this Shabbat is the third of Tammuz, is the date of an event that is recorded in the Book of Yehoshua, chapter 10. And where are we talking? We're talking verse 12. Oz yedaber Yehoshua Lashem. Then Joshua spoke to God. Biyom teit Hashem et ha'emori lifnei b'nei Yisrael. On the day that God was giving over the Amorites into the hands of the Israelite army. Vayomer, Yehoshua said, le'enei Yisrael, Shemesh begivon dom, v'yoreach be'emek ayalon. Let the sun stand, I'm looking for the English here. Sun, stand still at Givon, and moon in the valley of Ayalon. The next verse, 13. Vayidom Hashemesh v'yoreach, Vayidom Hashemesh v'yoreach omad. Ad yakom goy oyuvav, halo hi ketuva al sefer hayashar, vayamod hashemesh bachatzi hashamayim, v'lo otzlavo kiyom tamim. V'lo haya bayom hahu lefanav acharav lishmoa Hashem bekol ish ki Hashem nilcham liYisrael. The Navi is testifying that there was never a day before or since that God listened to the demand for a miracle on behalf of a person, which in this case was Yehoshua. The date of Gimel Tammuz, exactly where Sefer HaTodah gets it from, I don't know. That's the Book of Our Heritage by Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov. But if we take that, and Parshat Korach, and the Pi Haaretz, and one more thing, which was a little piece of music at the beginning of the show, which I'm sure you all recognize, the sunrise, sunset. And I want to put it all together in the following way. How do we, or how do each of us, understand and accept the concept, the idea, that Yehoshua can turn to God and say, let the sun stand still and let the moon stand still until our battle is finished? Did it actually happen that way? Is it a metaphor for being able to complete the fight until the sun set? I'm not sure, and I don't even want to discuss that. What I want to discuss is the sun and the moon, not at that particular day, but for every other day that the sun and the moon exists. Meaning, we have nature. I can ask each of you to ask yourselves, do I believe Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, then I don't know if anything that I say now is going to have any meaning to you. If, on the other hand, you do believe that God created the world, your questions include, was it really in 6 days, as we know 6 days, or was each day like 1,000 years, as the Pasuk in Tehillim mentions, or was each day an eon of undeterminable length in order for certain things to happen? I'd like to leave that for a different discussion. We're talking now the basic. Do I believe that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it? My answer is, yes, I do. You have to give your own answers to yourself. I will say, as a side point, that every single time a Jew takes a sip of water or eats a hard-boiled egg or an omelet or a piece of chicken or a piece of meat or a whole bunch of other things and makes a bracha, the bracha that he makes is to me one of the most profound statements of commitment and recommitment from each of us to God. Blessed, Baruch, blessed are you, or you are the source of all blessing. Atah, you God. Hashem, God. Elokeinu, our God. The King of the Universe. Shahakol Nihya Bidvaro. That everything that exists, everything, not just this water, not just this chicken, not just this hard-boiled egg, every single thing that exists, myself included, exists because God ordered it to exist. Shahako Nihya Bidvaro, by his word. The first mission in this perek of Pirkei Avot is Ba'asara Ma'amarot Nivra Ha'olam. With 10 divine sayings, the world was created. If you believe that, which I do, and I hope each of you are asking yourself that question, then this, as well as the statement of the Torah, of Bereshit Bara Elokim Et HaShemayim Ve'et Haaretz, including the follow-up of Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or Vayehi Or, and God's calling the Or day, and the Choshech, the darkness, night, and all the rest of the account of creation. How you understand it? Different type, different topic. Do you accept it as truth? And here, I don't want to get into the discussion of belief versus knowledge, but I am a big Rambam fan in this area, and I believe, use the word believe, that our challenge as Jews is to raise our personal level of belief in God until it is indistinguishable with knowledge of God. I've gotten into many arguments about this. No. You don't know that God exists. You believe that he exists. And my answer, which I can't say more than I'm going to say now, is my belief is so intense and complete and powerful that it is knowledge, not mere belief, if belief has a connotation of being less than knowing. But again, leave that for a different time. If I believe that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and on the fourth day of creation, whenever that was, he placed the sun in the sky to rule the day, and the moon at night to rule together with the stars at night, obviously more complicated than that, then I believe in sunrise, sunset. Actually, it's Earth rotation that we perceive as sunrise and sunset. And I remember discussing this with Rabbi Zev Leff a long time ago. And he basically said that no matter how scientific a person is and knowledgeable a person is, he's still going to sing sunrise, sunset instead of Earth rotate and Earth rotate. And I understand what that means. So sunrise and sunset I used to open the show because I wanted to refer to the unnatural, supernatural event in Yehoshua 10, 12, 13, that the sun and the moon stopped for the balance of the day. Now when we bless God in the presence of the moon once a month in what is called Kiddush Levana or Birchat HaLevana, one of the things we say there is that we sort of like personify the moon, the sun and the moon, but the idea is still there. We say, blessed are you, God, our God, King of the universe, Asher b'ma'amaro barash chakim, that by your statement the heavens were created, uferuach piv kol tzva'am, and by the way, this Motzoi Shabbat, so we can add Kiddush Levana also, is the first opportunity, according to Minhag Yerushalayim, for Kiddush Levana. Chok uzman natan lahem shelo yishanu atafkidam, you, God, gave a law of nature to the heavenly bodies that doesn't change, add in parentheses, under normal circumstances. Miracles accepted. Not accepted, accepted. And then we say, Sasim usmechim lasot ritzon konam. We perceive the sun and the moon as being not only faithfully carrying out their laws of nature that they were given, but we say that they are thrilled and delighted to do the bidding and the will of their Creator. The implication is, so should we. We who have free will, we who can choose what to do, should choose to follow God's command as faithfully as the sun and the moon follow God's command. So let's put a little things together and then we'll add some other things. Open up the book of Yoshua, open up to chapter 10, read through it, read especially verses 12 and 13, and ponder the open miracle of the sun and the moon ceasing to move during a period of time. Do not have to ask yourself, but that would create a situation where gravity would take over and the centripetal and centrifugal forces would not be in operation and the planets would burn up. No, all part of the miracle. So, again, let's not discuss that in detail. But it's not Shemesh B'Givon Dom, V'Yorech B'Emek Ayalon, let the sun and the moon stand still, and all the other laws of nature continue. That's ridiculous. It's a suspension of the laws of nature. This is not the only time it ever happened, but every time the Torah or the Tanakh tells us of a miracle, what I'm suggesting now is that we reflect on the miracle, on the power of God to bring about the miracle, but because He is the one who created the earth in the first place. So can God make the sun and the moon stand still at Yahushua's request? Of course He can, because He's the one that created the sun and the moon and gave them their orbits and their rotations and revolvings and mass and everything else. And that's part of our whole system of belief. The Makot, the plagues in Egypt. If you follow the commentaries in the Midrashim, that hail was not regular hail. Hail were balls of ice that contained burning fire inside them. And when they hit and broke open, the fire would burn something. That's not normal. Of course it's not normal. None of the Makot were normal. Frogs going into the ovens is not what frogs naturally do. Water, sea splitting. V'hamayim lahem choma miminam u'mismolam. The water formed a wall to the left and to the right and to the left. That was not normal. But my point is, ponder the supernatural miracles, but don't finish there. Don't stop. Now ponder the natural miracles, that the supernatural miracles were an exception of. Look at the sea, not as having split to allow Bnei Israel, the people of Israel, to cross through Yam Suf from the pursuing Egyptian army. Look at the water with its ebb and flow and its tides and its waves that keep crashing and crashing ceaselessly, and the rich life within the bodies of water of the world, the fish and other forms of life. And ponder that no less as miraculous as anything that defies nature. This is something that has been said differently by different people, and I am very much personalizing this by saying we need to marvel at a glass of water as much, if not more, than we marvel at the splitting of the sea and the singing of the song of the sea, which is part of our davening every day, which is a special focus of the seventh day of Pesach and in Parshat Beshalach. But hold up a glass of water, and what you are holding in your hand is a substance that has a melting point, a freezing point, a boiling point, has behavior that is truly incredible and all part of the intelligence of the world as God created it. Kulam bichachma asita. You created everything with wisdom. When I think of water, I think of the fact that most substances that we have contract as they get colder, expand as they get larger, as they get hotter. Sometimes it's very hard to perceive it, but there always is an expansion with heat and a contraction with cooling. One notable exception, a big exception, is water. Water at 100 degrees Celsius, 212 degrees Fahrenheit, which is going to boil if we keep heating it, has a certain density, which as the water will cool now that we take away the flame, the water becomes more and more and more dense. When it reaches 4 degrees Celsius, it is at its most dense form, and when it cools further, it begins to expand, different from most everything else. So that when it hits zero and starts to freeze, it is less dense, less heavy, than the 4-degree water. So picture a lake, and it's winter time, and it's very cold, and the top of the lake freezes over. As the water was cooling from the air, cold water was going down to the bottom of the lake, and warmer water was coming up. And the process continued until the lake was very cold. Now, it's still cold outside, very cold. The surface begins to freeze. But the ice at the surface does not sink into the lake because it is less dense than the very cold water underneath it. If water behaved like all other substances, most all substances, ice would be more dense than cold water. Ice forms at the surface of a lake would sink to the bottom to be replaced, to replace water that was rising. Further freezing at the surface would eventually result in a lake frozen solid, killing all life forms within it. Instead, the surface freezes, sometimes thick enough and safe enough for people to go ice skating, but underneath the ice is cold water, and in that cold water, fish and other life forms survive. That's why you have such a thing as ice fishing, where the fishermen will cut a hole in the ice and fish in the water below it. It's not frozen solid all the way down. So that fact of how water behaves as it turns to ice, which explains why the ice cubes float at the top, which also explains why if you fill a glass with water and ice cubes, and the ice is now sticking up above the surface of the glass, the edge of the glass, and you let it melt, it doesn't spill over. It stays within the glass because the cool water that results from the ice warming up is more dense, takes up less space than the ice did. Marvel at that as much as you marvel at the splitting of the sea. Because the same power, God, and only God, who created water with its properties, also brought about, at his command to Moshe, to hold his staff or his hand above the water and it will split, all comes from the same person, the same being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. And it would be sort of folly for us to marvel at the supernatural stuff without spending a serious amount of time and energy marveling at the day-to-day part of nature. Yes, people die in all different ways, and earthquakes are part of nature. Pi Haaretz, the mouth of the earth, was not an earthquake. It was an unusual one-time thing which was already part of original creation, according to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, as one of the things created at that first pre-Shabbat moment, the last pre-Shabbat moment, held in abeyance until Moshe asked God for it with Korach's rebellion. And we'll say the same thing in Parshat Balak with Pi Ha'aton, the mouth of the donkey, the power of speech of the donkey. And this is all part of what we must marvel at. I hope I got my point across. I like the idea that I was able to put together the little bit of Korach, the Shemesh B'Givon Dome of the 3rd of Tammuz, most importantly, the concept that God creates everything. That means nature's miracles and miracles of nature and supernatural miracles. It's all in the hand of God. I personally have no problem saying, understanding, accepting that Yahushua asked and God went along with him, that there was a suspension of the laws of nature that allowed the battle to continue in daylight. I have no problem explaining things by not explaining them, by saying this is part of God's doing. I understand the people who say, no, I'm not satisfied with that. I need to know the mechanics of how he did the miracle. I don't believe you need to know that. I don't believe there need to be mechanics that tie in. On the other hand, just popped into my head, and we've spoken about this before, the fact that there is a disease that can be fatal in eating slav, quail, after a heavy migration of a certain type, when they ate certain things and they become poisonous to human consumption for a period of time, as a way of explaining why we were able to eat quail back in Parshat B'Shalach before we got the mun with no negative effects, and why the next time we complained of the mun and demanded meat, it had a dangerous effect. I have no problem with that. I don't need it, but I find it interesting when there is such a thing that I know I'm being a little vague now, but I think I am overstaying my welcome. But That's the idea. Miracles come in two forms, nes nigle and nes nistar, an open miracle and a hidden miracle that is hidden within the laws of nature. But we have to be smart enough to say, I see that everything in nature is a miracle. Everything. I'll leave it at that. Wish you a Shabbat Shalom and Chodesh Tov. The last piece of music that I will play for this show is from Yaakov Zingbaum, Boim, Yehi HaChodesh Hazeh, and it ties together Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh, even though they don't coincide this particular month, they're close enough. And here it is. And what did I forget? Lehish Tameah.
Shall I say you? Oh, so, 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 so Hallo, ich